The Marriage Portrait, A Tale of Power, Passion, and Peril. I.A. Bride's Foreboding. In the opulent halls of a remote hunting lodge, I find myself trapped in a gilded cage, my heart pounding with the realization that my husband intends to kill me. I am Lucrezia de' Medici, barely 16, and for a year I have been the wife of Alfonso, Duke of Ferrara. As I gaze out the window at the misty woods beyond, I cannot help but wonder how I arrived at this moment, teetering on the precipice between life and death. The silk of my gown rustles against my skin, a symphony of fabric that speaks of wealth and privilege. Yet beneath its sumptuous exterior lies a corset of bone and expectation, squeezing the very breath from my lungs. I am a pawn in a game of power and politics, my body a vessel for the continuation of a dynasty. But I will not go quietly into the night. I am my father's daughter, a Medici, and I have faced down a tiger. I will not allow Alfonso to extinguish me. Ay, a childhood cut short. My story begins in the Grand Palazzo of Florence, where I was born the fifth child of Cosimo de' Medici, Grand Duke of Tuscany. From my earliest days, I was different from my siblings, wild, curious, and prone to fits of imagination that both delighted and concerned my parents. I found solace in the company of animals, and in the act of creation, my small hands forever stained with paints and inks. It was never meant to be me who married Alfonso. That honor was to belong to my elder sister, Maria, but fate, that fickle mistress, had other plans. When Maria succumbed to a sudden fever, I found myself thrust into a role for which I was woefully unprepared. At 12 years old, I became a bride-to-be, my childhood abruptly ended with the stroke of a quill on a marriage contract. I remember the day I first met Alfonso, my future husband. He seemed kind then, even playful, twitching his nose at me like a mouse sniffing cheese. How could I have known the cruelty that lay beneath that charming facade? I was but a child, never touched by any man, not even a cousin or priest, with no idea what to expect from marriage or the duties it would entail. A marriage of convenience. The day of my wedding dawned bright and clear, but to me, it felt like a funeral procession. As I approached the altar, I clutched my bouquet of lilies, unsure whether to wield them as a shield or a lance. Alfonso's words of reassurance rang hollow in my ears, for I knew that this union was not about love or companionship, but about power and heirs. That first night, as Alfonso whispered promises not to hurt me, I retreated into myself, building walls of thorns and stationing fierce beasts to guard the most sacred parts of my being. His touch was foreign, invasive, and despite his assurances, pain blossomed within me, startling and specific. In that moment, I understood that my body was no longer my own. It belonged to Alfonso, to Ferrara, to the future of two great houses joined in uneasy alliance. Ivy, life in the Duke's court. The fair heir's court was a labyrinth of intrigue and danger, where every smile concealed a dagger and every whisper could seal one's fate. I found myself adrift in this sea of unfamiliar faces, with only my maid Amelia as an anchor to my past life. Alfonso's sisters, Elisabetta and Nunziata, regarded me with a mixture of pity and disdain, while his mother plotted in the shadows, her allegiances as shifting as the tides. I soon learned that my sole purpose in this new world was to provide an heir. The pressure mounted with each passing month as my womb remained stubbornly empty. Whispers of my barrenness echoed through the halls, though none dared suggest that the fault might lie with Alfonso. I endured countless prescriptions meant to increase my fertility, concoctions and rituals that left me feeling more like a brood mare than a duchess. In my desperation for some semblance of freedom, I took to donning servants' clothes and creeping through the castle at night. In those stolen moments, I could almost imagine myself as someone else, not a pawn, not a vessel, but simply Lucrezia, the girl who once tamed a tiger with a touch. V. The unraveling of illusions. As the months wore on, I began to see the many faces of Alfonso. At times, he could be gentle and attentive, gifting me with small paintings and engaging me in conversation. But these moments of tenderness were fleeting, giving way to bouts of cold indifference or explosive rage. I never knew which Alfonso I would encounter from one day to the next. The true extent of his cruelty was revealed to me when he discovered the affair between his sister Elisabetta and the captain of the palace guards, Urkel Contrarai. I watched in horror as Alfonso ordered Urkel to be strangled before Elisabetta's eyes, his face a mask of cold fury. In that moment, I understood the depths of depravity of which my husband was capable. It was then that the seeds of suspicion took root in my mind. I began to notice the way Alfonso's eyes would linger on me, calculating and assessing. I heard him refer to my portrait as my first duchess, and a chill ran down my spine. Was I to be discarded like an ill-fitting glove, replaced by a more fertile bride? VI, a fight for survival. And so, I find myself here, in this remote hunting lodge, my fears crystallizing into certainty. Alfonso has brought me here to die, of that I am sure, but I am not the same naive girl who walked down the aisle a year ago. I have learned to observe, to listen, to survive in a world that would see me silenced. As I stand before the window, watching Alfonso's approach through the mist, I steel myself for what is to come. I may be small for my age, a mere 16-year-old bride with no friends or allies present, but I am a Medici. I am the girl who stroked a tiger and lived. I will not allow him to extinguish me, to snuff out the flame of my existence like a candle in the wind. My mind races with possibilities, with plans and counterplans. I know that this confrontation will determine not just my fate, but the course of history. Will I be remembered as a footnote, a tragic young bride who succumbed to a putrid fever? Or will I write my own ending, one that defies the expectations of those who would see me as nothing more than a vessel for their ambitions? As Alfonso's footsteps echo in the hallway, I turn from the window, my heart pounding but my resolve firm. Whatever happens next, I will face it with the strength and cunning of my ancestors. For I am Lucrezia de' Medici, and my story is far from over.